This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The death toll from Hurricane Milton has now hit 16 people. There are still millions without power, and the job of restoring all those homes and businesses is just now beginning, says ABC's Jim Ryan in Tampa.
A map of power outages graphically depicts Milton's northeasterly march across the state, starting with Sarasota County, where the storm made landfall, and 150,000 homes and businesses still lack power. Around the state, 2.5 million are still without electricity, but that number has fallen dramatically since Thursday morning.
Florida theme parks and the airports in both Tampa and Orlando reopened this morning. The Nobel Peace Prize this year goes to Nihon Hideyoko, a Japanese organization of Hiroshima and Nagasaki survivors. The group works towards securing a world without nuclear weapons. Authorities say one person was killed and 12 have been rescued after being trapped for hours, 1,000 feet below ground. They were in a Colorado gold mine about a half hour south of Denver on a tourist excursion. This is ABC News. At least 22 people have been killed by Israeli airstrikes in central Beirut, the deadliest in the city since the war began. It came the same day Israeli forces fired on UN peacekeepers in southern Lebanon, wounding two. The Navy is out with new details on the drowning deaths of two of its SEALs last January.
Two U.S. Navy SEALs drowned off the coast of Somalia last January during a nighttime boat raid because their gear was too heavy, causing them to sink almost immediately upon hitting the water. That's according to a nine-month investigation into the incident. According to the Navy, the SEALs were trying to board a cargo boat smuggling weapons off the coast of Somalia, wearing anywhere from 40 to 80 pounds of equipment. The Navy is now calling for new training protocols. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, The Pentagon.
Fisher-Price is recalling more than 2 million infant swings after the deaths of five babies. Federal safety officials say the product called a Snug-a-Swing poses a suffocation hazard when used for sleep. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some Wisconsin school districts are the subject of a federal rights complaint. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Four Wisconsin school districts are accused of violating Title IX by allegedly fostering hostile environments for transgender and non-binary students. The complaints are targeting districts that have allegedly eliminated or excluded gender identity from their anti-discrimination policies. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Doctors in Wisconsin say now is the time to get your annual COVID and flu shots. Dr. Jim Conway of UW Health says previous shots or illnesses won't keep you immune this season. That's because viruses mutate into different variants. Conway says this year's shots are your best defense against this year's strains. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks and the Lakers put on a show. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, it was just a preseason game, but the Bucks and the Lakers faced off in Fiserv form. Giannis against LeBron. Giannis with 20 points in 20 minutes of playing time. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Giannis got out running, and then the starters came back in and kept playing well. You need that sometimes, and I thought that happened.
The Lakers held on to win 107-102. NFL, the Packers had to place tight end Luke Musgrave to IR due to a lingering ankle injury. The team signed Falcons tight end John Fitzpatrick off Atlanta's practice squad. College football, the Badgers play Rutgers tomorrow in New Jersey at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell says the younger players now will bode well for the future.
This is what it takes to continue to build a program. You know, it doesn't always happen that way. Guys go down and guys don't take advantage of their opportunities. So there's some really good situations for young guys, I think, that'll bode really well for us in the stretch.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have one more warm, summery day before fall kicks in this weekend, and we may actually have some frost or even a freeze by early next week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, mid-40s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s, upper 50s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a member of National Security Leaders for America, Randy Manner. They just wrapped up a bus tour across Wisconsin. He'll join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinair on air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, October 11th, 2024. 25 days until Election Day and another beautiful day to have you up north. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast or through our social media video feeds, thanks for starting your day and, frankly, your weekend right here. I got a question for you. What do Detroit, Milwaukee, Kamala Harris, and Whoopi Goldberg all have in common when it comes to Donald Trump? Well, when I tell you, your response will probably be something along the lines of, yeah, that sounds about white. We'll get into that today about Trump's dog whistles that really have always been, you know, bullhorns, just even more so, it seems, lately. We'll talk to Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political correspondent, about new Trump revelations in an upcoming book by Bob Woodward. We will ask U.S. Attorney Jim Santel in our second hour about this week's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court not to block an abortion ban in Texas while a lawsuit works its way through the courts. We're going to talk to Mark Jacob about how the media continues tiptoeing around Donald Trump's incoherence, racism, lack of policy specifics, and so forth. And we're going to preview a busy sports weekend with Dan Schumacher, including the nationally ranked Badger women's and men's hockey teams getting their season going. Along the way, as always, feel free to join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call that number, you can text it, you can call or text us through the Civic Media app, or if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, just pop something in the comment section and we may pop it up on screen here. You can email us at upnorthnewsradio@upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Our homepage is upnorthnewswi.com, and we would love to have you check out the work that our team does every day, especially this Friday morning. Where on this Friday morning, temperatures at the bus stop are up a few degrees from where they were at the start of the week. It is 45 right now in Chippewa Falls, 48 in Hayward, 41 in Park Falls, Wausau's at 37. Green Bay at their, take it back. Greg Bach is with us in Waukesha. He's going to tap dance while I correct my mistake here. Good morning, Mr. Bach. How are you?
I'm doing well. These feet are flying. I learned all that tap in high school when I did Anything Goes. Tap, 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 tap. Woo!
I realized that I created today's temperatures, but I forgot to delete the ones from a day or two ago. So here now, are the correct temperatures at the bus stop. It's 54 in Chippewa Falls. It's 62 in Hayward, 48 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 57. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 48. Amory, 61 right now. Madison, 57. Waukesha, 54. Milwaukee, it's 55 at Mitchell Field. And Greg Bach is in beautiful downtown Waukesha there, where, again, if it's Friday, we're talking comedy. Because it's a good idea to head over to a little place called the Laughing Tap. Greg tells us who's there this weekend. Greg?
Oh, well, hello, Pat. I didn't see you there. Steve Gillespie is here this weekend. One show tonight, two shows tomorrow. All tickets available at laughingtap.com. $22 online, $25 at the door. Steve has been all over the country. I believe he's done Conan. He's done Conan, I think, at least twice. And he's just a very fun, laid-back guy, very, very nice, and just a good vibe. Good vibes, Pat. Good
Ooh,
vibes.
Good vibes. There's our word of the year.
Yeah, and so we'll be doing those shows, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow, 10 o'clock tomorrow as well. Like I said, all tickets are available at laughingtap.com. Back to just doing shows on the weekend, which is kind of nice after a comedy festival where all you want to do is sleep on Monday.
And will you? Did you?
No. I got done with
the
show on Sunday. I got home at 10 o'clock on Sunday night, and I got up and went to work early.
Here's how it works here. Yep. We will, of course, I've got a lot to tell you about the shows next week, although I'm starting to think they might be in jeopardy because we've got a couple of grandkids here, and the kindergartner crawled in by grandma and grandpa at about 3 a.m. and then continued coughing for the next, hour plus until finally I said, I think I'm just going to go take a shower now and maybe try to sleep in there and try to wash away everything. Here's a little plague for you, Grandpa. So we'll see. We'll see how the rest of the weekend goes that way. Always worth it, though. Always worth it just the same. The daily newsletter from Up North News is available by heading to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And subscribing, hit subscribe in the top of the banner there. And Christina Laurie has a story today about some Wisconsin supper clubs you may not be familiar with and some of the unique dishes that they serve. Also in there is a story about Indigenous Peoples Day. We did that yesterday in an interview with Trisha Zunker, talking all about the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow coming up this weekend in Rothschild. But the article is also worth your while to read. And just keep in mind that Monday will be a holiday for some, not for all. Just like when we knew it as Columbus Day, it wasn't a holiday for a lot of people. But in this case, now with maybe some new and better perspective on the times, Indigenous Peoples Day might be a much better holiday to take some time off and appreciate different cultures, a fuller retelling of American history. And again, just appreciation for, as Trisha Zunker put it yesterday, the perseverance and survival of Indigenous people all across the country. But again, for the newsletter, sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. So about next week, because I mean, things are really coming together here. We're now in that age where, frankly, you, the listener at home, just go somewhere on a website and say that you are starting a radio show or that you are starting a talk show. And at this time, this close to an election year, you might hear a cannon because it feels like people are just firing guests at you. Here, do you want to talk to this person? You should talk to this person. You should talk to this person. And we're happy to, because again, we want everybody to know as much as possible about the election before people vote, especially since some people have already voted. Some people are already casting their absentee ballots. But if you'd like to learn more about the race, well, tune in Monday. We will have a couple of guests from the group Veterans for Responsible Leadership talking about the kinds of things that veterans should be knowing and thinking about before they make a decision on who to support for president. Then on Tuesday, we'll talk to Ambassador Marian Shapiro. She is a retired diplomat, a former trade representative for the U.S. She has worked in the Secretary of State's office. She is one of 1,000 different retired national security officials who are part of a group called National Security Leaders for America. And they're actually on a bus tour this week. We talked to Joseph Pecky about that yesterday, recall. And she'll talk about how from both a national security standpoint and from a trade and economic standpoint, again, there is a clear choice in why all of these national security leaders prefer Kamala Harris over Donald Trump. And by the way, speaking of folks who maybe you don't normally associate with voting for candidates like Kamala Harris, I don't know if you saw, Greg, the note. We've talked about how some Republicans should, you know, are saying they're going to vote for Kamala Harris. Others are kind of, you know, playing footsie, like, oh, I might not vote, or I might vote third party. Charlie Sykes, of all people, is out there saying, yeah, I'm voting for Kamala Harris, and you should too. If you would have told me back in the late 80s, early 90s, when Charlie Sykes was first getting going on the radio in Milwaukee, that he would be very publicly endorsing Kamala Harris for president, put in your own punchline, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't know what you were smoking or anything like that. But, you know, I've watched this. And look, I'm going to admit, it's very easy to pile on Charlie Sykes, what he did for the, you know, the environment in Milwaukee. The political and cultural environment was downright poisonous for many years.
Yep.
So he's either on a, you know, redemption swing, or he has just figured out how to work the other side of the aisle, you know, for fame and fortune. But regardless, that carries a little something. When Charlie Sykes is telling you, yeah, I'm not writing in like Paul Ryan or Mike Pence or something, I'm voting for Kamala Harris, that's got something attached to it, you know?
I agree. I completely agree. Like, yeah, I go back and forth with that, man, because I'm like, as someone once said to me, he set the table and then walked away.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. So anyway, so we're our theme continues to be, and you'll hear this with Kia Vakil as well, you know, people who had supported Trump now supporting Kamala Harris. And by the way, it's not united. And what I mean by that is I saw yesterday that J.D. Vance had a town hall. And I don't know Greg's opinion on the retired race car driver, Danica Patrick, but there's Danica there saying, I've never voted. But now I see that it is so important to vote. And she's obviously supporting Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, which, you know, again, explains things. But here's my larger point. Yeah, Donald Trump isn't going to attract any new moderate voters, but that's never been his game plan. His game plan has been to look at all the people out there, and there are many of them who've never voted, and Danica Patrick was one of them. And that's because, for whatever reason, they didn't connect with anybody who was on a ballot. But now, with Donald Trump, whether it's the racism, the sexism, the misogyny, the isolationism, the cluelessness, whatever it is, they connect, and now they're going to vote for the first time. So for all the folks out there who are like, no, you know, Trump's, he's not going to get nearly the support that he ever got before. Yeah, not from the current voters, but from people who are going to crawl out from under rocks and out of the woodwork, like a Danica Patrick, and vote for the first time. So just keep that in mind when we say go vote.
I love it.
Or for the love of God, go vote, or however we express it.
Dear sweet Jesus in heaven, vote.
Yes. So getting back to next week, we also have on Tuesday, Yiling Zhang. He is running in the 85th Assembly District in Marathon County against longtime Republican Pat Snyder. Pat Snyder, by the way, much like Dewey Strobel, these far right Republicans who are now talking about in their campaign ads, their bipartisan actions and how they work across the aisle. Yeah. On Wednesday, we'll have our climate check in our homeroom segments. In our homeroom segment, the education impact of Project 2025, and Assembly candidate Christian Phelps next Thursday. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated. It is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy, and I'm going to use a quote to kick off today's Work Money Minute. Comparison is the thief of joy. That fancy quote comes from everybody's favorite 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. It calls out one of the most common problems that you and me and everybody we know sometimes has about their money. It is envy. You know, whether it's something you see in real life or something you see as you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, envy is really hard to turn off. And you know how when you feel it just makes everything else around you seem yuckier? Well, here's what I do. A, I give myself a break. It's normal and human to feel envy. B, I say, Carrie Joy, don't believe the hype. You know real life is more complicated than what you're looking at. And C, I stop scrolling for a little bit. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Well, I'm summer and winter. We're not one bit alike.
Dottie West is part of today's history lesson. Loved that voice, taken from us way too early. But again, more about why Dottie West and others are in today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. All right, on this Friday morning, going to be a busy weekend sports-wise, so let's go through everything that's going to be happening here. The Green Bay Packers take their 3-2 record into a game against the Arizona Cardinals, knowing that they have an NFL-leading 14 takeaways. Xavier McKinney has intercepted passes in each of Green Bay's first five games. It's actually a six-game streak, going back to last year's final game, so needless to say, when the media talked to Arizona Cardinals QB Kyler Murray, he is well aware of who he wants to avoid. As the 2-3 Cardinals head to Lambeau Field for Sunday's 12 o'clock game, you can catch the game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine Kenosha. The Badger football team heads to New Jersey for tomorrow's tilt with Rutgers, which lost its first game last week after a 4-0 start to the season. You can hear the Badgers at Rutgers. 11 a.m. is kickoff, 9 a.m. the pregame on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. The ninth-ranked Badger women's volleyball team will host two matches at home this weekend, playing Maryland tonight at 7 and Northwestern on Sunday afternoon at 1, again for the Badger women's volleyball team ranked ninth in the nation. The Badger women's hockey team is ranked first in the nation, and they open the WCHA conference schedule facing third-ranked Minnesota Duluth Saturday and Sunday at Laban Arena. Both games are at 2 p.m. Both games are already sold out. As for the Badger men's hockey team, they are ranked ninth in the country as they open their 2024-25 season with a series against Lindenwood at the Kohl Center tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 6. And there's a little update on sports to get you going for the weekend here. Donald Trump spoke in Detroit yesterday. That normally, I mean, everybody knows politics. Everybody knows you kind of give some of the platitudes. You may mean them. They may be a little tongue in cheek, whatever the case might be. Donald Trump is talking to the Detroit Economic Club. And here's one of the things that he had to say to an audience. Keep in mind, in Detroit.
I don't think anything that we're talking about today is high on her list. The whole country is going to be like, you want to know the truth? It'll be like Detroit. Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president. You're going to have a mess in your...
I did, Greg. I don't know Dale Carnegie. You know, I don't know all about how to win friends and influence people.
Trust me, neither does he.
Neither does Donald Trump. to come and say, yeah, your city's going to be a hellhole. The whole country is going to be as bad as you guys are. Sure, good luck with that. But keep in mind, he also, in that same speech yesterday, I wouldn't even call it a speech, in the same ramblings, he invoked Detroit, or he invoked Milwaukee as well, as terrible places to be.
I thought he loved it here. He said there was billboards all over the city saying he
I
loved
know,
it.
Right? Well, it's one thing to just say what you really think. It's another thing when you've got a lot of money and you can spend it on billboards to insist otherwise and say, no, I love Milwaukee until I leave town and get to Detroit and tell people, yeah, you live in a hellscape here. But it's in keeping with other things that he's done this week. His remarks about Kamala Harris, which of course have never been flattering, but the constant reference to her as stupid, using the word stupid or dumb or unintelligent. And it would be one thing to say that about your opponent, but he also could not help himself after the vice president's appearance on The View recently to go after Whoopi Goldberg. And again, to just personally insult her up and down, and again, question her intelligence. And so between the derogatory remarks about these two highly intelligent black women who are leaders and his ongoing comments about the genes and genetics about immigrants, let's not tiptoe around this. Donald Trump is becoming less coherent. He is, again, like other people we may have met in our lives, just letting the racist flag fly unapologetically and saying, you know what, here, this is who I am. Thankfully, the mayor of Detroit, Mike Duggan, responded by posting that Detroit had just hosted the largest NFL draft in history. The Tigers were back in the playoffs. The Lions are headed to the Super Bowl, in his opinion. Crime is down. The population is growing. Lots of cities would like to be like Detroit, and we did it all without Trump's help. And he's not the only one that came to Trump's defense. But let me play one more soundbite from Trump. And honestly, just try to follow along with this. Let's give a listen.
The very big plant. Many countries, they do that. And then all of a sudden you hear that they're leaving Milwaukee or they're leaving wherever they may be located. It's very sad to see it. And it's so simple. I mean, you know, this isn't like Elon with his rocket ships that land within 12 inches on the moon where they wanted to land. Or he gets the engines back. That was the first I realized. I said, who the hell did that? I saw engines about 3-4 years ago. These things were coming, cylinders, no wings, no nothing. And they're coming down very slowly, landing on a raft in the middle of the ocean someplace with a circle. Boom. Reminded me of the Biden circles that he used to have, right?
What?
He'd have 8 circles and he couldn't fill them up. But then I heard he beat us with the popular vote. I don't know. Couldn't fill up the 8 circles. I always loved those circles. They were so beautiful.
What?
Exactly. So okay, that's enough of that.
The 8 circles.
I later had to go look and like, okay, is there a coherent explanation for the circles? And it goes back to the pandemic when for social distancing, some places would put circles down that were 6 feet apart and have people stand there as a way to gauge distance and say, how about if we not infect each other? Okay. How about if we not kill one another? And Trump clearly still has that on the brain where he'll start rambling and go off into a tangent that takes you to Elon Musk and the rockets and they land in the circles and Biden's got circles and the circles, he could never fill them up. And you know, don't you at some point then say, well, that's a great story, Grandpa. It is time for your nap.
Yeah.
And yet this man is still in inexplicably a 50-50 race to potentially be president of the United States. Again, we'll continue that part of the conversation with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It may not be making headlines, but the high path avian influenza impacting dairy, making big news in California. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll find out the latest from Zach Bowers, dairy analyst with EverAg, next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
California's dairy industry getting hit hard by high-path avian influenza and weather changes. That's according to Zach Bowers, dairy market analyst with EverAg.
Basically, outside of Wisconsin, we've seen it hit pretty much every other big dairy state, and we have not seen the effects that we're seeing in California. Now, they're a couple weeks out from cooler weather, which I think is going to really help. But at the current moment, you've got cows that are down anywhere from, you know, typically when we heard it hitting other states, you know, cows would be down 10, 15 pounds. Holsteins would be. And then, you know, in 2.5, 3 weeks, they'd recover, be down a couple pounds, and then eventually get back to normal. Right. The difference here is we're hearing cows down anywhere from 25 to 40 pounds on some of these sites, having 10% death loss.
Major impact high-path avian influenza is having on California's dairy industry. That's Zach Bowers, dairy market analyst with EverAg. He said right now they believe at least 100 dairy herds in California have been affected. Markets are next.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Yesterday, barrel cheese dropped another penny and a half to 186.5. 40-pound block cheese up a quarter at 193. Double A butter down a penny, 264 a pound. November Class 3 milk going into cheese this morning up 24 cents, 21.69 a hundredweight. December corn's up a penny right now at 420. November beans are up 4 at 1018. December wheat, penny and a half higher right now, 605 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on market information and the numbers for you, starting off on a Friday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have one more warm, summery day before fall kicks in this weekend, and we may actually have some frost or even a freeze by early next week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, mid-40s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s, upper 50s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go
yeah,
vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Sean Blaschka and Bill Beaudry from the Wausau Paranormal Research Society team for Freaky Friday. And it's also a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr comes by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, welcome back on this Friday morning. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Bakil is with us now. Kia, hello, how are you?
I am well, Pat. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. And again, this is not to make light of any of the suffering and everything in Florida, but you know full well there's times when it's like, are you guys done having earthquakes or wildfires or mudslides or anything like that? So the quiet over there almost has to feel kind of eerie by comparison.
Yeah, it does. We've had a, you know, reasonably tame fire season here in California, which, you know, I'm relieved by, but, you know, seeing the damage and the destruction in Florida and the rest of the Southeast has been disheartening, you know, seeing coworkers, friends, I mean, obviously even the millions of strangers there like affected is really, it's devastating.
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes me into our first question as we kind of look at the top stories of the week here. And I was on Chad Holmes's radio show yesterday actually. And he asked me this question, and I want to pose it to you now, is that how did we get to a point in our nation and in our politics where the response is always to, as they like to say, double down? And that includes the spreading of misinformation about hurricane response. It's clearly wrong. It's clearly been proven wrong. And yet from Donald Trump on down, these things are said over and over to the point where we now talk about machines that can control the weather. I'm not saying there's a right answer. I brought it back to you know, Newt Gingrich is the earliest person I can remember who, when things didn't go well, just doubled down on it. But I kind of like your thoughts, since it's such a big story this week, politicians outright lying about a response to a hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right to sort of point to Newt Gingrich as, you know, the origin of this. And I think really Donald Trump turbocharged it in a way that no one had. The man lies every time he opens his mouth, and, you know, seems just utterly incapable of telling the truth. So, you know, he has spread countless lies. I think the other, you know, place to look at is the emergence of social media platforms and the just total inability or disinterest of them, of TikTok, of Facebook, of Instagram, and of course now certainly of X under Elon Musk, to do anything to stem just massive, massive disinformation, misinformation, conspiracy theories, lies. And to be clear, I'm not suggesting that would be simple or that you could ever ferret it all out. You know, there's always been fearmongers and conspiracy theorists using the media to their advantage, but it is just a barrage of it in the last several weeks. And when you have a platform owner like Elon Musk driving a lot of it, you know, we're in a whole new territory. Imagine if Mark Zuckerberg was, you know, telling the entire world that Democrats engineered a hurricane to attack Republicans and then used the relief money to support undocumented immigrants. That's basically what Elon Musk is doing.
Right.
And it's absolute nonsense. Anyone with a, you know, functioning brain and the ability to think critically knows that's not true. I think it's a combination of that. And like you said, Trump and the sorts of politicians he's brought in, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And it's awful because what it does is not only is it create a toxic politics, but it really just engineers distrust in institutions like FEMA, who are very flawed, but actually are responding to this hurricane. And so you have people who are scared to apply for, you know, immediate relief of $750 because they think that means they won't get anything else. They think, you know, it's just it's really disheartening to see sort of what's spread across the internet and had real tangible impacts in places like Western North Carolina.
Now, I have said early on that, again, like you said, it's hardly realistic, but I just don't think all of these platforms should be treated simply as platforms. They are, in fact, publishers if they're disseminating false information. And look, if nothing else, what I'd like to see, again, I don't know if it can work. I'd like to see, we talk about this with food all the time, country of origin labeling. to make sure that you know where your food is coming from. I'd like to see the same with information, because I think you'd see so many of those tweets that are spreading all this rampant misinformation with, you know, little Chinese flags on them or little Russian flags on them or whatever points out the actual origin of where some of this information comes from. But whatever it is, it needs to stop. I mean, it is just absolutely pouring pollution into our national discourse here. And you have a former president who doesn't care, as we learned more this week in Bob Woodward's latest book about the things that Donald Trump was doing as president and since he became president. And I think the thing that really maybe didn't help was that people described what Trump was sending to Vladimir Putin as COVID tests. Well, it wasn't like the little cotton swab thing at all. But we got to think back to the early days of the pandemic and what a big deal this was.
Yeah. Again, even if it was the cotton swab thing, early in the pandemic, you could not get a COVID test anywhere. I remember like that month in April and March and April of like trying to get any sort of test or anything. And it was impossible unless you were, you know, very, very sick. And, you know, I don't think there's in general, you know, I wish we lived in a world where we could, you know, there were infinite supplies and you could help other countries. But when you're, you know, in a pandemic, you got to take care of your people if you're the president of the United States. And to send what Trump sent to Russia, a country that we do not have, or, you know, in theory, we do not have a good relationship with, other than Donald Trump, who has since launched a war that has, you know, devastated Ukraine, is an insane choice. And it's a choice that, you know, really underscores Trump's relationship to Putin, his desire to be friends with the man. We know he's kept in touch with him since the presidency, according to the Bob Woodward book. And, you know, it just continues to speak to Trump's desire to be like Putin. He wants to be someone who can run a country with an iron fist, with no dissent, with no opposition. He can imprison his opponents. Like, that's literally what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's because he has watched Putin do exactly those things. And again, without any consequences to him. And I would note again that in these half dozen or so contacts that Donald Trump had with Putin since becoming, again, a citizen, not a president, he was having this contact with Putin while in possession of classified documents, boxes and boxes and boxes of classified documents. And we still don't know what might have been talked about in those phone calls, if photos were taken of the documents or anything like that. And I'm kind of wondering if Woodward's, you know, holding more back that he's not sharing until, you know, later on in the book tour or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Bob Woodward is a kind of a history of this thing where, and a lot of reporters unfortunately do, and I actually think it's one of the more, unfortunate things where reporters sit on something for their book rather than actually report it out at a time when it could be more important.
Right.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more to come. You know, Donald Trump has such a routinely every day does something incredibly for almost any other politician would be career ending. And does it in public. And so, you know, but imagine what is in private that we have not learned. Like, there must be so much. And, you know, whether it would make a real difference, I don't know. The man seems to be just unbelievably resilient with his base. And so these things are information for, you know, for liberals and for maybe more moderate voters, but they don't seem to have any effect on his popularity with his base.
No, there seems to be a little bit more coverage of Trump in another matter this week, and it deals with genes or genetics and the things that he says about migrants. And, you know, the New York Times is working so hard to sane-wash this thing, saying Trump's remarks on migrants illustrate his obsession with genes. The former president used language that reflects his decades-long belief that bloodlines determine a person's capacity for success or violence. I mean, why so many words when you can say, well, my racist uncle says, but we're trying to look at it through an analytical lens?
I mean, that's just an unbelievable, I saw that headline and that description. I mean, the man is talking about eugenics, just call it what it is. Like, why it is That is actively terrible journalism in a way that, you know, anyone who was involved in that headline should not be involved in headlines anymore. Because if you read that and then looked at what Trump actually said, the two are very different. And, you know, I think the New York Times is a punching bag for a lot of, you know, liberals and anti-Trump people, sometimes unfairly, frankly. But this is exactly why this happens, is because they have headlines like this where they try to, like you said, sanewash his racism, his eugenicist beliefs, his insane hatred of immigrants and fear-mongering about them. And that has consequences because a lot of voters are not going to hear what he actually said. And because they, you know, dress up and button up his absurd statements, people, you know, might not really understand who he is.
Right. Keep in mind, again, a mob boss never directly says the words, go rob that bank, right, but he conveys it. In much the same way, you're never going to hear Donald Trump talk about a master race, but you're sure going to hear a lot that makes you wonder if that isn't what he's actually thinking. If we could, as many people are sure are yelling at the radio now about, turn to other news and good news. Good news yet again, in terms of inflation and the way that it continues to be tamed and the jobs reports that continue to be good. And again, this is not a beat the press kind of thing. It's just simply saying, as we look at the stories of the week, another one of the stories that we're going to look back on this week is the notion that this economy continues to move into, you know, a textbook example of a soft landing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's been genuine issues with the economy since COVID, specifically, you know, rising costs, but things have genuinely stabilized to a great extent in most areas. And, you know, that's through a combination of those COVID relief laws that were passed, some work from the Fed, and just, you know, resilience. And, you know, we're in a much better shape than most other, you know, European countries or other, you know, advanced economies. If you look at the rates of inflation and recoveries from the pandemic, we're doing quite well. Now, obviously, things like housing costs and childcare costs and healthcare costs and elder care costs are issues, particularly housing. And, you know, that's what a lot of people are struggling with right now. You know, groceries and gas are always going to be there, but those are smaller ticket items at the end of the day. Whereas if you're paying, you know, $2,000 a month for rent, you feel that. And that's why I do think it's important to point out that, you know, only one candidate for president has actually introduced plans on all of these topics. And it's not Donald Trump. You know, we saw this week Kamala Harris rolled out a plan to cover home health care for seniors under Medicare. Mm-hmm. I have cared for an aging parent. It is exhausting and draining and an impossibly difficult experience. And it would have been life-changing to have, you know, that covered by Medicare, because it's not right now, despite what some people think. If you are older and need help at home, you either have to pay out of pocket or you have to essentially be so poor that you go on Medicaid. And that really only covers you when you go into a nursing home completely. And she's also rolled out plans to expand housing to cap the cost of childcare at 7% for most families. She's introduced a plan to expand the child tax credit. And she wants to use the ability of Medicare to negotiate drugs and expand that to more drugs and do it more quickly. And that's just a handful of these plans. And again, this would require Congress to step in. But if you look at what Donald Trump has proposed, it's basically all of those plans. He basically says all of those issues he says he can solve by deporting undocumented immigrants. That is his only plan. Tariffs
and mass deportation.
Tariffs and mass deportations. Those are the beating heart of his campaign. And, you know, they would actually actively make almost all of those issues worse. Who do you think does elder care? Who do you think does child care? It's a lot of undocumented workers. Who do you think builds homes? It's a lot of undocumented workers. Who do you think, you know, picks the fruit you buy? It's undocumented workers. So, and a lot of our food comes from overseas. You're not getting an avocado from Wisconsin, you're getting it from Mexico. And so you're not getting a lot of your tequila from the US, it's from Mexico. And so It's just an insane plan that would only make things worse.
Right. Kiev Akil is the national political correspondent and editor for Courier Newsroom. And I'm looking at the stories that get submitted for editing. And by the way, he's seen a lot of stories come through about people who, you know, used to be Trump voters who are now supporting Kamala Harris. I have not yet seen you working on any stories that said, I'm a Biden voter, but now I'm voting for Trump. So please let me know if any one of those comes across the desk, okay?
I will do that.
or the unicorn, whichever one you see first. Kia, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You bet, you too.
We will be back with today's history lesson right after this on a Friday morning. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated. It is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants, and even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Saturday Night Live from this day in 1975.
And now, Billy Preston with Nothing from Nothing.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something if you wanna be with me.
Here's today's history lesson for this October 11th. Again, Billy Preston was on SNL this day 49 years ago. They actually had two musical guests that night. Janice Ian, doing her hit At 17, was on there as well. On this day in 1991, Professor Anita Hill delivered televised testimony concerning sexual harassment during the Supreme Court nomination hearing for Clarence Thomas. 1991. Imagine how different the world would be if we could just change a few things from 1991. In 1986, the number one song was by Janet Jackson. All right, you already know this is When I Think of You, and it went to number one. It made her and Michael the first siblings to land number one solo singles on the chart. And here's the part I think is really cool. This is the first number one hit by a pair that you know as Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. They do a few more of these before all was said and done.
They made a good name for themselves.
They really did, yeah. They would do 15 more number one hits by the time all was said and done. It was on this day in 2001 that the Polaroid Corporation filed for federal bankruptcy protection. How funny is that? That, you know, the instant photos that Polaroid was so known for got replaced by things like Snapchat, where photos disappear after a few seconds.
But hey, man, Polaroid's only got one. Trump's got four. So, I mean, who's the winner here?
Yep. Birthdays today. We mentioned the late Dottie West earlier. She was born this day in 1932, died in 1991. Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates is 78 years old today.
So good.
So good, and now they're so not speaking to each other.
I know. It's all over money, too. It's just...
Yep. Well, money and promises and things like that, but yeah. Luke Perry was born this day in 1966. It should be his 58th birthday, but passed away 5 years ago. The number one song this day in 1975 was by Neil Sedaka with backup vocals by Elton John. Bad Blood was number one this day 49 years ago. More birthdays. Emily Deschanel, Zoe's sister. You remember Emily from the series Bones. She's 48 years old today. Actress Jane Krakowski is 56. Cardi B is 32. And TJ Watt is 30 years old today. On the national calendar today, this is National Coming Out Day. It marks when 500,000 people participated on this day in 1987 in the March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights. This is National Sausage Pizza Day. Greg, I don't know if I've ever asked, what is your go-to for pizza? I will say mine is always just automatic pepperoni, sausage, mushroom. That's all. It's always going to be that.
So there's two styles in the Bach household. There's the Becker special, which is Bridget's style, which is extra cheese, tomatoes, and then like a black olives or maybe spinach. Mm. And then mine is always cheese, black olives, mushrooms as a base. May add some more, but though I like cheese, black olives, and mushrooms.
And Bridget likes black olives and extra cheese as well.
Mm-hmm. And tomatoes.
So you're very much a black olive person.
Yeah, I love black olives. I love black olives on my pizza.
All right. Let's see. Tony chiming in from Ashland. Sausage with pineapple.
There you go.
Well, Tony, we appreciated you as a listener, but
I'm going to defend that to the hilt because I complained and moaned for years about pineapple on pizza is disgusting. Well, guess who had never tried it? This guy. And then one day I did. I'm like, dang it, I like this. So now I'm with you, Tony. I'm with you.
Okay. All right. Tony says he's getting hungry just thinking about it. Yesterday's after the show snack was the cold pizza from the night before from my favorite place in Kalamazoo. And again, the sausage and mushroom was just, you know, how can some places get pizza so right?
Yes.
In other places, it's still good because there's no such thing as bad pizza. There's just not. It's levels of good. This is World Egg Day. So, sure, let's go into this one. Eggs. Love them best over medium, Greg.
Honestly, I'm always going to go scrambled. That way I can put
scrambled's some... Scrambled's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or for many people, just a conduit, you know, for whatever stuff you want to put, you know, just put the whole garbage can in there if you want. And, you know, it's just the best. I love that for breakfast. Cool. Veterinarian nurses, this is your special day today as well. And one more holiday of note. Today is called Black Girl Day Off. This is a mental health day to focus on emotional well-being and physical health. And that's because Black women have higher rates of heart disease, breast cancer, maternal mortality, and some other chronic illnesses. And so, again, take a day for yourself if you can today on this Black Girl Day Off. And if you're a white guy out there, saying, where's my day off?
Yes, I'm here.
You, Mr. Whiny White Guy, you go ahead and take the day off too, big fella. We'll call it, you know, Privilege Day or the Day of Manly Martyrs or Clueless Clods or whatever. Just sit down.
How about just Beta Day? Yeah, I just insulted all the alpha dudes out there. What's up?
day to day. I'm getting old. It's getting harder to keep up with the lingo from you kids, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So, all right. Alicia tells us you got to go with the two hard-boiled eggs for breakfast every workday. And Tony's happy to finally have a day off for himself. I don't know what category you're in there, Tony.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. It'll be a fantastic TGIF Friday. Brady Ewing and Peter Rapine with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.